The following sermon was delivered to the New Covenant Presbyterian Church, PCA, in Selma, Alabama.
We continue in 1 Thessalonians in the evenings. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We've heard about the gospel coming to the Thessalonians and power and full conviction of Paul and Silas and Timothy having to leave swiftly. And he is in his letter now reporting back to them. But we come to the point in the letter now where he has sent Timothy away and Timothy's come back with a report. He sent Timothy away and he in fact went to Athens and on his own and preached to the Athenians in the Areopagus. But now in our letter, which we're taking in short pieces to go deeper into the teaching of it. It's a title probably in your Bible, if the editors have inserted some headings, Timothy's Encouraging Report. We're going to read 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 10. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us, as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake, because our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for leaving us these reports, inspired words between an apostle and the church that he along with others founded. Please instruct us, fill our hearts with joy, increase our faith and love through your word and by the power and the working of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Solomon, in his wisdom, has a couple of verses in Proverbs 25, verse 13 and verse 25. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. And similarly, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Well, so it is, so it was for Paul. Cold water to his thirsty soul. Good news from Thessalonica. The word that Timothy brought back, and again, he sacrificed his own comfort, his own fellowship, perhaps even his own protection, to send Timothy back that he might investigate, that he might look into things, see how things were going in Thessalonica. And him having come back, we learn that this refreshes Paul. It fills him with gratitude. It reignited his passion for that ministry there and really for all the various places of ministry for the Apostle Paul. First, in verses 6 and 7, let's think about the fact that their faith and fellowship comforts Paul in his difficulties. The faith and fellowship of this congregation, the congregation of the Thessalonians, brings him comfort in his difficulties. Timothy has come to us from you, he tells them now in the letter as he is writing after the fact. He's brought us the good news of your faith and love. Paul thinks about his words, And his word for good news is gospel or euangelion. This is the only place that he uses that word for anything other than the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But at this point, still early in his, obviously in his writing ministry that we have recorded for us, he takes this one opportunity to say, it's good news, it's gospel to me, to hear that your faith and your love are secure. This is good news because it's the power of God at work in you in my absence. God's faithfulness to you and in you. Paul is saying, it's good news to me here where I am as I hear a report from you, as I think about you, as I pray for you. Your faith and your love is good news to me. Their faith, that obviously is their faith in God. The object of their faith is the one true living God. Their faith in Him, the vertical relationship. As I'm away and you're there, your vertical relationship with God is intact. That's good news to them. But also their love, that is their horizontal relationships, their love for one another, the love within the church is good news to him. Faith and love. John Calvin calls it the sum total of godliness. So where he is now as he hears of them, thinks of on them, prays for them, their faith and their love. Faith in God, love for one another brings him, it's good news. It's good news. Our faith, Paul, say the same Paul would teach in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, is a gift from God. Our faith is a gift from God. It's not by work so that no man may boast. This gift of faith has been given and received, and it's taken root in Thessalonica. Love. The Apostle John told us something about love in his first letter. Not his gospel, but his first letter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is at work among these believers. The saving power of the gospel, good news, a righteousness from God for the Jew and the Greek, it's taken root. And so Paul is encouraged, their faith and love. But there's two other things that bring him encouragement. Still in verse 6, it's been reported that you remember us kindly, and you long to see us just as we long to see you. This means they didn't listen to the rabble. Remember the rabble that ran Paul and Silas and Timothy out of town, that after they were gone said, see, they left. They didn't have enough courage to stick around. They don't care about you. They didn't listen. Though they were new believers, and with the world and the devil attacking, yet their roots grew deep. Mark and his fellow evangelists sowed the gospel to them. Some of the gospel seeds fall along the path, but when they hear, Satan comes and takes away the word that's sown. Some falls on rocky ground. They hear the word. They receive it with joy, but they have no root. They endure for a while, but when tribulation or persecution comes on account of the word, they fall away. Other gospel seeds go among the thorns. They hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. But those that fall on good soil, the seeds on good soil, they hear, they accept it. they bear fruit. So the parable of the sower, the good seed, the good soil, it's all good seeds actually, the good soil. He's got a report that his seeds of the gospel sown there fell in good soil. Though the devil's attacked, though the world undoubtedly, that they're seeing it could be easier if they just turned away, but they didn't. They've stayed firm. And so this accumulation of good tidings, faith, love, kindly remembrance in both directions, longing for one another, and affection in both directions has brought him good news. We see here a picture being painted for us, a congregation that's faithful. God's truly taken root in their heart through his Holy Spirit. They're seeking to the best of their ability to listen to sound doctrine, to live in godly conduct, even without their mentors there with them. They're showing mutual affection within themselves and with their minister and mentors. And so we see ministry taking place, the fruit of ministry, the result of ministry. People sharing together through thick and thin, through good and bad, through ups and downs. It's costly. Even to get this report was costly to Paul, but it's worth it. Looking out not only to our own interests, but to the interests of one another is worth it. We find comfort, even in difficulties, through this faith and through this fellowship. And in Paul's case, he says in verse 7, in all our distress and affliction, we've been comforted. Especially in distress and affliction is good news, like Solomon said, like cold water to a thirsty soul, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest. It's in distress and affliction. And we've heard the stories of Paul, the distress he faced, being attacked for what he's preaching and teaching, the Lord simply taking him through physical hardship, through his life, dangers, both from people and from the elements that, of course, are under God's command. In this, he's comforted by this good news of the people of God living faithfully. But there's an end, I think verse 8, a short little verse that even says more about this. Point two, that the report of their steadfastness is life-giving to Paul. He throws this in, for now we live. If you are standing fast in the Lord. Having said all that, he adds this other comment. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. There's a sense in which the Thessalonians' faith was a test. This is still early, although years have passed since Paul's conversion. These are the earlier days of his ministry, of the gospel going forth, of him preaching Christ crucified, dead, buried, risen again, resurrected, ascended. He's preaching this. We see it now from this side of history. Paul is experiencing it as the one that God called on the Damascus Road and called immediately into his service and told him he would suffer. But he sees that the gospel is bearing fruit. His life is now more and more bound up in this ministry. He says, this report of your steadfastness is actually giving me life. He put a lot of stock in their persevering faithfulness. Would he eventually be able to write the words, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek, because in it a righteousness is revealed, the righteousness of God from faith to faith. For as Habakkuk said, the righteous shall live by faith. Yes. The power is there in the gospel. He sees it. So he breathes a sigh of relief. He's renewed. He says, we can breathe again. You're standing firm. We don't have to be there. You've stood firm even in this initial absence. You've given us a new lease on life, even a taste of the resurrection. For now we live if you're standing fast in the Lord. A couple of things here for us to take from this. Was the Apostle Paul worried? We're told not to worry. Jesus told us not to worry. Paul himself tells us not to worry. I don't know. I'm not going to accuse the Apostle Paul of being worried. We can each read it for ourselves and think about that. But as we like to say, he's at least concerned, right? Don't we say, I'm not worried, but I'm concerned about you. He's concerned. And it stirred up his spirit. Don't you have folks in your life like that? You're worried about them. You're concerned. Our hope is in the Lord and in the good news and the power of His Word, the power of His Spirit. Continue to pray for them. If possible, do share good news from the Lord with them. Pray that they would seek out good news from a local church or somewhere else. They'd read their Bibles. But Paul shows us it's right to be concerned of others, other people that we love, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. In this case, brothers and sisters in Christ. Under affliction and him seeing they've stayed firm, they've remained steadfast under trial. I want to say three little things about it. That aspect, Paul was worried or concerned. Also that Paul needs assurance or reassurance. In his own life, the Apostle Paul needed to be reassured from the Lord that his ministry wasn't in vain, that God was in charge of all this, not him, that his preaching, which he acknowledges many places, is not in worldly words of wisdom, but is in demonstration of the Spirit and of God's power. But nevertheless, he needed to be reassured. He needed a word from them to encourage his spirit. But also I would remind you, and whether it's the relationship of the pastor to the congregation, the elders to the congregation, or you to another younger brother or sister in the faith in your life, as we live faithfully, we bring joy to those who are praying for us, and that's good. So we should let them know, maybe send them a note to a brother or sister in the Lord. Things are, here how things are going here. It's good, it's tough, somewhere in between, but God's with me, and I'm with Him. And so he's been encouraged, comforted by their faith and fellowship in his difficulties. The report of their steadfastness has really given him life, a new lease on life. But their faith still needs investment. Their faith, yet, still needs investment. Now, let's be reminded first, in the end of verse 8, they're standing fast in the Lord. It's in the Lord that all this is taking place. And that's why it's secure. It's not in their own strength, it's in the Lord's strength. But he still wants to go back. Listen how he kind of finishes this little part of the report. Verses 9 and 10. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God. What thanks can we give him? We feel joy before God because of you and for your sake. We pray earnestly for you, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. First of all, he is seeking to invest in their faith through prayer. First of all, he is thankful. He is praying to God prayers of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for these people, these believers in my life. You've ministered to me through them. You've allowed me to minister to them. Thank you, O Lord. He's praying prayers of thanksgiving and also prayers of supplication. Thanksgiving to God for his persevering faithfulness to them and within them. And then thanksgiving for joy, for all the joy that we feel. Now we're told he is in distress and affliction. He's in a time of distress and affliction, but he has joy. In fact, he says, words can hardly express. I hardly know what words to say to the Lord in my prayers due to the joy I'm experiencing in my thanksgiving for you. God is giving him joy in his trials through this report. Joy. That's spirituality at its deepest. Joy in the Lord in the midst of trials. God offers this to you also in your trials, in your afflictions. Peter, in his letter, applies this same message to believers suffering and to believers like us waiting in these last days for the Lord's return. He says this, though you have not seen him, we haven't seen the Lord with our physical eyes. Though you have not seen him, you love him with your spiritual heart. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Lord gives us joy, even in our afflictions, to give us a taste of heaven. That's what he's done for Paul. That's what he offers to do for us as well. This is joy that is spiritual, that is not related to our current circumstances. Joy from the Lord, a foretaste of heaven. So he's praying thanksgiving, thanking God for the joy he has in them. But I've said that he still wants to make further investment in their faith, that their faith needs further investment. And so he says, I'm still praying night and day that I can come, that I can see you face to face and supply what's lacking. Though he said all these true and wonderful things about them, yet he still wants to go. He still wants to see them in person. So in wanting to see them in person, he's praying against the devil's plans, because he said the devil, Satan, has somehow gotten in his way of getting there. So he's praying down the devil's schemes against him and praying fervently that he can come back and see them face to face, because he wants to restore them. He wants to equip them. He wants to complete them. He's describing here such things, the words he uses, as a fisherman repairing his nets, a surgeon setting bones in place, or some sort of mediating person wanting to bring together two sides. He wants to complete his catechetical training in doctrine. He wants to go teach them the confession of faith and the catechisms and the scripture. We always need to grow. He wants to help them understand how to live, how to have clarity about all the teaching that Jesus gave us. Jesus did say, go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them everything that I've taught you. Paul's trying to do that. He wants to go back and continue instructing them in the faith. He wants them to be mature, to be complete, to be whole. He's been praying for them. God is with them. God is answering his prayers. But he wants to go in person to give them instruction, encouragement, and admonition. So he's still praying for that opportunity. You know, one of the things that ministers, in some ways, we want to, in a sense, work our way out of a job And by that I mean we want to equip the saints for ministry. But this gives ministers some hope that there will be continued need for us. That on this side of glory, on this side of heaven, we all always need to continue more and more to grow in our faith. To study together the doctrine of the Lord Jesus. To ask for His Holy Spirit to apply this word of truth to us. To sanctify us, for we are sanctified by the word of truth through the power of His Spirit. And so this applies to us as well. That we dig our roots deep in the Lord in difficulty. That we stand firm in our faith because of our faith in the Lord. That we continue to love one another. That we not be squeezed into the mold of this world. But that we pray, O Lord, renew our minds. Let us walk faithfully. Let us be an encouragement for those who've invested in us. Let's pray to Him now. Father in heaven, we do pray that each of us has someone else in our life who's invested in us. They've invested prayers on our behalf. And maybe for some of us, some of these folks are with You now. And so we say thank You for them. But it is our prayer that You would help us be faithful and help us give all those saints, whether with You or whether still here on earth, they're still a part of that cloud of witnesses who see us as we continue to run the race and help us to run it faithfully because of Jesus and all that He's done for us and because of His work in us. We pray in His name. Amen. For our benediction, I share the continuing words of Paul as he moves into a prayer. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus, in Paul's case, direct our way to You. In our case, keep us together in perfect peace. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. Amen.